The scripture reading this morning will come from James 1, 5 through 7. If you would like to follow along. James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord.
Morning. Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. I want to join Victor in saying, if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. So glad that you're here, and our hope and prayers that you'll be with us any time that you have the opportunity. We began a series some weeks ago concerning building a better me. We want to continue that thought this morning as we continue our study together on building a better me. Can I be better tomorrow than I am today? Can I be a better person, a better man, a better husband, a better Christian, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, whatever the case may be? Can I be better tomorrow than I am today? And we're going to look, as we continue our studies together, we're going to look at some things that maybe can help us in our striving to be better tomorrow than we are today. So this morning I want us to consider, as you might be able to have discerned from our song and from our scripture reading this morning, our prayer life. Can I be better tomorrow in my prayer life than I am today? I hope that we can all grow in this area. It's somewhere that we all need to grow. This is going to be, as the last time we studied together concerning building a better me, well, the two-part sermon today is going to be as well. This morning we're going to look at four ways that we hinder our prayer life and the different types of prayer. And this evening we will look at the prayers of Jesus and what we can learn from them. Right, as Christians, friends, we need to learn the importance that the role of prayer plays in our lives. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. We know that from what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Literally, it is God breathed. And it is profitable, if you would be a man of God, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished, in every or all good works. My friends, when we think of that, and what Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 and 20 and 21 concerning the inspiration of the Bible, and we discussed briefly the inspiration of the Bible this morning and the proof that we have for that. And he tells us, friends, as we look at the examples of Jesus as we will this evening and what Paul writes concerning prayer, God is speaking there to us, and we, friends, through prayer are able to speak to him. We can take our concerns, our burdens, we can take them straight to the throne of God. And so we have then a two-way street of communication. God through His Word, us to Him through our prayers. Now, what are some ways, if we're going to be better in our prayer life tomorrow than we are today, then maybe we need to figure out what it is that maybe hinders our prayer life so that we can set those things aside so that we be not hindered in our prayers. Four ways I want us to discuss this morning of ways that we hinder our prayer lives. We hinder our prayer lives, number one, if we pray without faith. The Hebrews writer writes in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that for without faith it is impossible to please Him. Friends, we must have faith that God is hearing and will answer our prayers. Now, does that necessarily mean that God will always answer our prayers in the way that you and I want them answered? No. Sometimes God's answer is no, isn't it? Sometimes God's answer is not right now. We'll take care of this later. And sometimes, of course, His answer is yes. You ever heard the song, I believe it's by Garth Brooks, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? Now, I like the sentiment of that song, friends, but what Garth misses in that song is that God did not answer his prayers. That was just not in His plan. If you think about prayer, we cannot, without faith, please God. And friends, that's especially true in our prayers. James 1, 5 through 7, as Kelly read so aptly for us this morning, If we go to God and we waver in our faith and ask Him of that prayer, verse 7 says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. We must go to God in faith when we go to Him in prayer. Let me ask you this, friend, and answer it honestly within yourself. Do you honestly believe that God can and will answer your prayers? Do you really believe that? Think about it for a moment. You heard of the prayer meeting, the church had come together, as we might ought to from time to time, to pray for rain. And there was only one little old lady that showed up to that prayer meeting with her umbrella. Now, all the people that showed up to the prayer meeting, who believed in the power of prayer? Right? That little old lady showed up with her umbrella. She was going to pray in faith. Now, that doesn't mean that God would have had rain fall at the moment. But that one little demonstration showed that lady's faith. Friends, do we believe that God can and will answer our prayers? Now, as I said, it's not always going to be immediately. It may not always be in the way that we want or what we think is best for our ways. His ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So we have to understand that. It's not always in a way that is immediately visible. But sometimes, or many times really, we want certain things when in reality those things are not what we need. God knows what we need. He's going to take care of us in those ways. He's going to be sure, friends, that we as Christians, as His children, are taken care of. Well, friends, let's not go to God in prayer, not really and fully trusting and believing that He's going to answer. We need to realize that God hears the prayer of His child and that He will answer it. Number two, we can hinder our prayer lives, friends, if we pray selfishly. If we pray selfishly, if we're like most people, hopefully most of us have grown beyond this, but if we're like most people at some point in time, we may have prayed something along this line. God, make me rich. Or bless me with power over others. You can fill in the blank. At some point in time, I'm sure we've all prayed a prayer similar to that, praying only for those things that satisfy our own desires. I want you to think for a moment. Luke 23 and verse 39. One of those thieves that were hanged with Jesus, he railed upon Him and he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now what was that thief's concern? Now of course, he didn't really believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But if he was, what was his concern? Get me off this cross. Now, what did the other one say? His mindset was totally different, wasn't it? His prayer to Jesus was entirely different. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. One was upon the physical, the other upon the spiritual. And of course, Jesus answered, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, friends, if we pray with a mindset of loving this world, how is that prayer to be received? Think of what John says in 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. John says to his readers, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. And so, friends, when we go to God in prayer, if we pray selfishly, God's not going to hear that prayer. He wants nothing to do with that prayer. James 4, verse 3. James addresses those that would pray selfishly, those with an aim toward worldly gain. What does he say? Ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You see what James says there? They were praying for worldly things. They were praying for bigger houses. They were praying for more money. They were praying for more prestige among men. so that they may consume it upon their own lust. And James says, God's not going to have that. My friends, that does not mean that God does not want to answer our prayers. But he wants us to address him properly. Let's turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Let's look at part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus here addresses the subject. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And what man is there of you, who if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now friends, remember that as Jesus is speaking here, he's speaking with mind toward the spiritual. If you want to know things of God, you ask him. And you search for it, and he'll open it, and you'll find those things. Friends, God wants to answer our prayers, but we must ask properly. We must ask for those things that we need. Friends, we hinder our prayers when we pray selfishly. We hinder our prayers, number three, when we pray in a prideful manner. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Begin reading with me in verse 10. There are some that will try to approach God with a heart that is filled with pride. And Jesus tells the tale of a couple of men here where one does indeed approach the throne of God with pride rather than humbleness of spirit. Begin reading with me in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friends, what do you see? What's the difference that you see in the two men between the Pharisee and the publican? It's obvious, isn't it? The publican, or rather the Pharisee, raises himself up better than other men. God, look what I have done. You ever know those people? Pat themselves on the back all the time. Look what I've done. Look at all of these accomplishments. But over here you have the publican. He would not even so much as lift his eyes toward heaven. And he beat upon his chest, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his prayer. That was it. Be merciful to me, a sinner. How should we approach the throne of God? God, look at what I have done. God, have mercy upon my soul. Friends, when one properly understands, when you and I properly understand our own sinfulness, and that we would be helpless without God, and when we realize our dependence upon Him, any self-pride ought to be done away with. Every individual, having reached the age of accountability, has sinned at some point in time. Romans 3 and verse 10, Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 23, Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all, friends, in need of salvation. We have no reason, you and I do, none of us have any reason whatsoever to be prideful when it comes to approaching the throne of God. For without the blood of Christ, we would all die in our sins. Luke 19 and verse 10. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus Christ shed his blood upon the cross. Even before he got to the cross, he shed his blood. Why? For you and for me. That was the entire reason that Jesus went to the cross, was so that you and I might have life. But friends, I want you to think about this. As we approach the throne of God together, as we pray to our Father in heaven, when we stand at the foot of the cross, there is no one better than anyone else. We are all in need. So we ought not be prideful when we approach the throne of God. We are truly on equal ground at the foot of the cross. God is no respecter of persons. Although that Pharisee may have thought so, God's no respecter of persons. We ought to be more like the publican than the Pharisee. Number four, we hinder our prayers when we pray while trying to harbor hidden sin. The psalmist writes in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friends, what right do you and I have to ask God for help, to ask God for strength, to ask God for forgiveness of our sins while we try to hide something deep within? Friend, it's a foolish endeavor anyways, isn't it? God being omniscient, all-knowing, and as such, God knows all that we think and do. The Proverbs writer, Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known or open in His sight, but all things are naked. Look at that. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You think for a moment, think of Adam and Eve in the garden. When they had partaken of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they made an attempt to cover themselves, but then they heard God's voice walking in the garden. And so they hid themselves. And so God calls for them. And then He asked them what they had done. You tell me God didn't know? Well, God knew. But there, friends, we see the need for admission of sin. For confession of it unto God. Adam and Eve had to confess unto what they had done. To realize the magnitude of their sin. And so they had to do that. What about Jonah? Jonah was told, Jonah, you go to Nineveh and you tell them what I tell you to tell them and they'll repent and I'll have mercy on them and so forth and so on. Did Jonah go? Eventually, not immediately, did he? He ran. Nineveh's way over here to the east. Jonah's trying to go to the west. He's trying to flee all the way to Spain. He wants to go to Spain. On the complete opposite side of the known world. God not know He's running? Absolutely, He does. He prepares a great fish. Fishermen toss him into the sea. The great fish swallows him. He spends 3 days, 3 nights there in the belly of the fish. And then he spit upon the ground. What about David? Did God know the sin of David with Bathsheba? Absolutely. Nathan went and talked with David. He told him a little story. You remember the story? Have a poor man that's got a little ewe lamb. Rich man that has whatever he wants. A stranger comes to visit the rich man, and rather than take love of his own flocks, he goes and he slays this little ewe lamb and prepares it for the stranger. Remember how angry David was? David said, this man shall surely die, and he's going to restore fourfold what he's taken. And I can imagine you could hear a pin drop in the palace, wherever it was that David was at this time, when Nathan looked David in the eye and said, thou art the man. God knew. Thankfully, David repented, wanted to make things right. Friends, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 139, and read with me verses 7 through 10. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Look at what David writes here. David would know. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Friends, God is everywhere all at once. And so, friends, we need to be aware that if we try to hide something and expect our prayers to be answered of God, for God to even hear that prayer, we're fooling ourselves. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. We hinder our prayers when we pray, trying to harbor hidden sin. Those are four ways that we hinder our prayers. And friends, also, if we're going to be better in our prayer lives tomorrow than we are today, we need to consider the various kinds of prayers and understand what they're about and how we go about using these various kinds of prayers. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul writing to Timothy says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All right. Look at the different kinds of prayer that Paul mentions here. Number one, supplication. What is supplication? It means bringing a need. That is, in this case, bringing a need before God. That is, our personal needs, maybe. Excuse me, I got a sneeze stuck. Oh, it hurts. Personal needs. We take personal needs before God. We take the needs of others before God. We have the word, this word in particular, it is used many times within the Bible. Job 8 and verse 5, he makes supplication unto God. Job 9 and verse 15, we see it again. Psalm 6 and verse 9, supplication be made unto God. Jeremiah 36 and verse 7, Acts 1 and verse 14, we see these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we see them making supplication, taking their needs before God. Then we see Paul mentioning the prayers. Okay, friends, what we may think of that and what we see here is this is simply one talking with God. That's it. You ever thought about that, really? When's the last time you just sat down and you had a conversation with God? Preacher, that's silly. God doesn't talk to me, yes he does. Through his word, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Friends, would it not maybe be a good idea every once in a while to sit down and as God speaks to you through his word, speak back to God? Pray while you study. Prayers. That's all it is simply talking to God. It's often used in conjunction with supplications. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, Philippians 4 and verse 6, we see both times that it's used in conjunction with supplication. Paul writes to Philippians there, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's it. Paul then mentions intercessions. We know what it means to intercede, don't we? This is a prayer offered on behalf of someone else. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, Romans 8 and verse 34, Hebrews 7, 23 through 25. And so, friends, we are able to go before God and intercede on someone's behalf. When someone comes forward and asks for the prayers of the church, and then we in turn pray for them, what are we doing? We're interceding. We're going before the throne of God, interceding on their behalf. Asking, as they are as well, for their forgiveness. Telling God of their repentance. And praying for their help. You think of what Moses did on Sinai. When God wanted to destroy the people, Moses interceded on their behalf. He prayed unto God. God spared them. Paul then mentions giving of thanks. And friends, as it is a great privilege to be able to pray for our brothers and sisters of Christ, we give thanks that we have even this avenue of prayer. God has been so good to us in so many ways, has He not? By show of hands, how many folks arrived here in a car this morning? Everybody here. The exception of maybe Mac. I think Mac's about the only one that walks over here. But friends, you think about this morning. God has been so good to us. He has blessed us in so many ways. We have cars in which we can drive and get to certain places. We have homes that have air conditioning. We have lights so that we can see at night. We don't have to worry about lighting a candle or an oil lamp anymore. We have clothes, nice clothes, most of us, that we're able to have, and the list could go on and on. What about our physical blessings of our health? Friends, if you have your health, you in many ways have everything. That's not counting all the spiritual blessings that God has given us. That is of salvation. He's given us the church so that we can have fellowship one with another. The avenue of prayer, that's a blessing in and of itself to be able to approach the throne of God in such a way. Our fellowship that we can go anywhere and worship with Christians of like mind. How great of a blessing is that? That God has given us. And friends, because of God's blessings, it's a natural thing for us to offer thanks unto Him. Giving back our material blessings is one way in which we do that. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, as we've done this morning. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Giving back of our physical blessings, our time, our energy, our talents, allowing our spiritual blessings to be a catalyst behind our working for God. These are just some different kinds of prayers that we see going before the throne of God. Four different kinds. Now this evening we're going to look at Jesus and our example that He gives us of prayer. We'll examine His prayers and what we can learn from them. But friends, as we conclude this morning, I want us to think about maybe some things that we're allowing to hinder our prayer lives. Maybe some things need to change. There are definitely some areas I'm sure that we all can grow when it comes to our prayers. Now, let's be familiar with the different kinds of prayers. Are we making supplications? Are we just having one-on-one time with God? Are we giving thanks? Are we making intercession for others? Let us dwell on these things and think about these things as we look forward to this evening. But right now, let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're going to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as we think about these things, as we think about our prayer lives, one thing of which we need to be aware, God only hears the prayer of His children. And friend, if you're here this morning and you have not become a child of God, you need to know that while as Cornelius your prayers may have gone up as a memorial before God, maybe you're seeking the truth, whatever the case may be, as Cornelius was. But in the fashion that he hears his children's prayers, he's not hearing yours. Well, friend, would you become a child of God this morning? Would you put Christ on in baptism, friend, so that when you go before the throne of God, you can have confidence that your prayer is being heard? And that God will answer. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? That He bled and died upon the cross for the remission of your sins? If you do, friend, would you repent of sin? Turn your back on the world, giving your life to Christ, confessing Him then before men and being immersed in water. for the forgiveness of those sins. Friend, would you do that this morning? Put Christ on in baptism. Arise again to walk in newness of life and be His forevermore. Friend, it may be that you're here and you have obeyed the gospel at some point in your past, but for whatever reason, you decided not to live for Him. Would you come back this morning? Would you be His again? Friend, if you have a need, come now while we stand and while we sing.